Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of The Layback with Luke Bettis. I am joined by our esteemed producer, engineer, and commentator, Eric Anderson.
Hello, I commentate.
All right. Well, cool. You know, I haven't done an episode in a while because I've been really, really, really busy. But my goal is to do one every single day. No, my goal is to do one at least once a week. If I can do three a week, that would be a goal. Obviously, I'm failing at my podcasting goals at the moment. But, you know, that's what happens when you run three companies, one of which is very active. The other one is extremely active. And the other one is this one that's not as active. No excuses. I mean, look at Elon Musk, right? He still can tweet a million times a day and run SpaceX and Twitter and, well, he's not running Twitter, but SpaceX and Tesla. But yeah, so anyhow, I will try to put out more content and get better at this medium. But in the meantime, I want to talk about and play a video and just kind of dive into this topic of this bombshell that just came out about 13 million people have died from the vaccine. I did not misspeak. 13 million. And there is data to prove it. And we're going to dive into whether or not we believe that that proof is real or not. So without further ado, we're going to watch a few videos. First, I'm going to watch the Jimmy Dore and Steve Kirsch video. Steve Kirsch has been pushing for this data to come out. There has been a whistleblower in New Zealand who's a statistician who came out and brought the proof out. So I haven't really had time to go through everything. I did watch this video and I started another video, which was, excuse me, the announcement video by the statistician and somebody who ran for office in New Zealand, some lady. All right. Without further ado, feel free to stop it where you want, Eric, or tell, you know, ask me to stop the video where you want, if you want to. Let's give Jimmy a play and see what they have to say. Rhyming.
Good to back to the show. Steve Kirsch. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good, Jimmy. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you on. Now, I'm bringing you on because you wrote this Substack, and the headline is, "It's time for criminal charges to be filed against the New Zealand Ministry of Health officials now." And it says that thanks to the efforts of a courageous whistleblower, the entire world now knows and can download the data proving that the COVID vaccines have killed over 10,000 people in New Zealand alone. So, Steve, what the hell? Come on. We all know that that vaccine is safe and effective. What do you know that we don't know?
Well, I got the data, and I think I was the first person in the world outside of the whistleblower to get the data. So it got uploaded to my I have a Wasabi server, and the data was uploaded in the November 9th.
What's a Wasabi server? Do you know what that is? I've heard people say, "You have a Wasabi server."
Let's see. Well, it just might be the name of the company.
Okay.
It's a Wasabi cloud storage, high cloud storage performance.
So he's just shouting out the company?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it like a status thing? Like, oh, I have a Wasabi server.
It's just the name of the company.
Is it Japanese made?
Don't know. Sounds like it would be.
If it's not, it's cultural appropriation. Can't be stealing other cultures' words, making them your own.
Like garage it used to be.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a few ridiculous examples of that, but
let's see. And Wasabi is also the name of a Japanese plant. It does not help me.
That's all right.
There's a few Wasabis.
Yeah, oh, I love Wasabi.
There we go. Boston, Massachusetts. Wasabi Technologies Incorporated.
Ah. Hypocrites. All right, let's play on.
And the whistleblower asked me to keep it quiet until November 30th. And on November 30th, I had a speech in the MIT auditorium, the Kirsch Auditorium. It's named after me. And they actually let me speak there because a student group was willing to sponsor my speaking there. But they couldn't find an MIT faculty member who was willing to sponsor me to speak about the truth about the COVID vaccines. But fortunately, a student group invited me. And so I spoke about this huge data dump from New Zealand, and they've confirmed that it is legitimate data from a legitimate source. And that data shows there's no way you can analyze this and come to any other conclusion other than the vaccines have killed massive numbers of people, about 1 in 1,000, which means the vaccines have killed 675,000 people in America and about 13 million people worldwide. That's stunning.
That that certainly goes against what the FDA and the CDC says, I'll tell you that. The CDC says it's very safe and effective, and that if there are any side effects, it's rare. What is this now? Tell me.
That's right.
Tell me that. So you got data. How did you get this data? And it came right from where? It came from a government organization?
Yes, it's directly from the database in the New Zealand Ministry of Health. And it's all the records in a particular database in the New Zealand Ministry of Health. So this is 1/3 of all the vaccination records for New Zealand. And so with this data, which includes the death data and the date of birth, we can calculate everything we want to calculate in order to show whether the vaccines are safe and effective. There's only one way to do this calculation, and there's only one result of the calculation.
Well, first off, I want to poke a hole. So it's 1/3 of a population. I mean, that's how many? What's the population of New Zealand? It's like 10 million or 8 million or something like that?
5.1 million, although that's as of 2021, so a couple years.
Oh, well, that's fine. So, okay. So we're looking at 1.75 million people. That's about 1/3. What would be 1/3? That was my quick math.
Yeah. That'd be 1.7. Yeah.
Okay. 1.7 million people. That's the sample size. I mean, you can, that's a lot of people, mm-hmm. but then you're speculating on the other 2/3 of the population.
Yeah.
Based on that 1/3, which what if the other 2/3 are totally different?
Right.
Then it makes your number, it skews your numbers already, right?
Right, right. Like what if you just literally analyzed a population that was prone to something and the other 2/3 are not?
Yeah.
Like 1.7 million, they're like all the elderly people.
Or all the, or supposedly this vaccine affected people of color differently than white people.
Right. Yeah.
So that, you know what I mean? Which is, can happen with medicines. It has genetic disposition sometimes. So, vaccines are racist. That's all I wanted to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's just
more truth bombs. Please subscribe.
Yes. Let me keep it. So just to, you know, as we're listening to that, just remember it's 1/3 of, it's 1.7 million, not 5. Whatever million. It's not the entire country. But you can still come up with, themes, numbers, you know, stats with that population. You can definitely come up with numbers and or, you know, statistics on I mean, I do it all the time in business when it's like, okay, what'd we do this month? Okay, then how does that affect the rest of the year? How would that correlate if we did this every month to the rest of the year? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, when you go through, it's better when you have an entire 12 months. And now you can go, okay, what did we do this year? Perfect. Right. And if I had just looked at 1 week or 1 day or one quarter of a year, it's not the same as an entire year. The numbers change.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt.
Especially like, hey, your quarter, let's say you're in a business where winter is a great quarter for you, and right. you only look at winter, well, you're going to think, oh, wow, we're doing going to go so well in summer, but it's going to be completely opposite.
Yeah, you're not going to be in business for 10-plus years like we've been if you do, if you run your company like that. Hey, what do we do in our best time? That's going to happen all the time. Yay, more bonuses. Damn it. And, you know, and then you've got, you know, up economies and down economies, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and you got COVID, which that's unprecedented for my business anyway. I've never had a COVID to deal with, but right. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll just, you know, put a pin in that and keep going. I think he says something else. There's more data as well from other sources, but or he correlates this to another database. We'll see. And it might be an American one. We'll see what happens.
Only one way to interpret the results of the calculation, and it shows massive numbers of people killed. Effectively, 13 million people were killed by their governments worldwide, and this data proves it. Now, there are people who are skilled at gaslighting people and trying to convince them that this data shows something other than what it does. The correct way to analyze this data is to do a time series cohort analysis, which is the most sophisticated analysis that's available for data like this. This is what the epidemiologists use. This is what the UK Office of National Statistics used to prove the vaccines are safe and effective. So it's a known technique. It's generally accepted in the community, and it's the most sophisticated technique. And it was only the UK ONS which used the sophisticated technique, and of course their data was very flawed, but even then it still showed the same signal as in the New Zealand data, and we see the same signal in the US Medicare data, which is all gold standard data. So you have the UK, New Zealand, and the United States of America all showing the same result, which is you take these vaccines and your risk of dying the next day is higher than it was the day before, and it keeps going up and up and up. So for dose two, for example, in the United States of America, we have the Medicare data that proves this. In the United States of America, you take dose two, your risk goes up every single day for 365 days in a row, and it goes up at the end of 365 days, it's climbed by 26% over baseline. 26% over baseline. It should be falling by 4% because this is Medicare data. And the Medicare mortality is about 4% per year. So this data, when you look at these people who have been vaccinated with dose two, and you take them and then you look at how they die over time, there should be like 4% of them should die over a period of 12 months. And what we're finding is an accelerated death rate that is about, it's 30% differential from the 4% it's supposed to go down. So there's no doubt about it. There, you can't have the death curve march up in a straight line for 12 months without any fluctuations whatsoever. It is like clockwork. It is the most beautiful graph I have ever seen. And I just got it recently from a whistleblower inside of Health and Human Services, because the CDC doesn't disclose this data. They have the data. The CDC has access to this Medicare data with vaccines and deaths. They refuse to analyze it. So now we have data that we can share with the world from the New Zealand Ministry of Health that confirms all of this. And anyone can download it, And we give people the free tools so they can do the time series cohort analysis that we did the way the professionals do it, and they can dump it into an Excel spreadsheet, which we supply, which shows, and it shows the visualizations. And you can cut this any way you want. You know, there are four independent variables. You can vary them any way you want. You can vary them so you're only looking at deaths prior to the COVID outbreak in New Zealand. You can look at it after the COVID outbreak was done in New Zealand. You can look at it during the COVID outbreak. You can look at it any way you want. You can segment it by age. You can segment it by dose number. You can segment it by the time of year. And you can also look at it over when you got it, how many weeks, you know, what happens in the week since you died. So there are lots of ways of slicing the data, but they all point the same thing, which is killing about one person per thousand doses. And that's an average over the five doses and average over all ages. So in a normal population, which is getting the vaccine, you simply look at the number of doses of the vaccine, which is delivered, and you divide that by 1,000. So in the US, we gave out 675 million doses of the vaccine, Jesus. Which means 675,000 people were killed by the United States government. Now, worldwide, it's 13 billion doses. Divide that by 1,000, you get 13 million people were killed by their governments because of these vaccines. Because none of the health authorities, other than the, I'll give the UK ONS credit, because at least they tried to do the proper epidemiological analysis of their data. But their data is extremely flawed, and they tried to do a comparison between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, where they should have been looking at the vaccinated versus the vaccinated, and they should have been having smaller buckets than the less than 21 days, more than 21 days. Because you can't see it with that. You have to go and look at it with bucket sizes of a week. So anyway, the point is they made an attempt, but they couldn't see the data because they it was too crude.
So let's pause it there, because one out of 1,000 is 0.001%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 0.001. Yeah.
That's not that much. I mean it's still a lot.
It's a number. It's a definite amount, but like,
well, that's what the flu kills per year in America.
Yeah.
660,000 people, roughly.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, yeah. Between 5 and 7.
Right, right.
Depending on the year. So that's, I mean, I guess that's a lot for something that was supposed to, that was sold as safe and effective. Did it save any lives? How many lives did it save versus how many people it killed? If it killed 0.001% of the people that took it,
does that mean that the others got really lucky, or that it saved? It could be either one, but either way, that's like 99%.
More.
99.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic, honestly, if we're looking at those numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, that's... I mean...
But that's all population. So not the whole population took it. So it's not 99.99.
Gotcha. Yeah, we had to look at the numbers of the ones who did get it, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, hold on. Because it's one out of 1,000 people that took it.
One out of 1,000 people that took it.
Or is it... I'm a little confused now. Is it one out of 1,000 people that took it, or one out of 1,000 per 1,000 population? I think it should be out of who took it, right? God, we are so dumb. The Layback with Luke Bettis, where you go for top medical and mathematical analysis.
Yes. Tune in next week when we try to have two bumbling idiots or get to the answer.
We're going to figure this out. A 25-year sales veteran and an IT manager are going to figure this out.
Oh, man. This is why I quit accounting.
I mean, Jesus. see Jimmy Dore's face. I mean, that's me and you. We're
yeah, right. No, I'm gonna show that. I know I'll take a screenshot of this. Like,
that's gonna be our thumbnail for this episode.
Exactly.
Trying to understand what an MIT guy who has a auditorium named after him, right. Which means he was really good at MITing.
MIT. Exactly.
You know. Yeah. Cool. All right. I'm just gonna, you know, this is how, but you know, we're showing how a lot of this science stuff gets misinterpreted all over the world is because we're ignorant to this science that they're doing. And so we're taking their word for it to some degree, if we believe what they're saying. And if we believe what the other people are saying that counter this, we're taking their word for it because we're not smart enough to do all the data ourselves. We're not educated enough, not smart enough. We're just not educated enough.
Yeah, if we're taking that number, the 13 billion doses, 70.6% of the global population have received at least one dose, and this is as of November 2023, November 13th, to be precise.
What percent? 17%?
70.6%.
70.6. Jesus Christ, what a success that is. There's never been 70% of the entire population for anything. From a few, like from one industry, you know,
Windows,
the Bible. I don't know.
The Bible. Yeah.
Yep. Even that, I don't think is 70%. Look that up. What percentage of the planet population has received a Bible, purchased a Bible?
85% of U.S. households.
That's higher than I thought.
Let's see. 81% of the world population have a Bible in their language.
Wow. 81%. So it's up there with the Bible. It is almost as successful as the Bible.
Just because I'm Microsoft, 68% of all desktop computers worldwide as of September 2023 is a Windows computer.
Well, there you go. So it's more successful than Microsoft. Wow. And guess who's, you know, has a big hand in all this? Bill Gates. The guy that created Microsoft, who knows about monopolies and who knows how to do this stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, this story goes, he's almost like the past generation Mark Zuckerberg, where he stole a lot of his good idea, where he stole a lot of the good ideas.
Oh,
like
sure.
He stole the Unix kernel and basically just said, hey, I want to give it icons so people can use a mouse with it. And at that point, no one had ever done that. It was all, you know, keystrokes. And then when they did the mouse with the GUI, it was like, oh, we're doing this now.
Right.
No, and the rest is history, quite literally.
Yeah. You know, 13 million people, if they would have come out and said, this is going to save a lot of lives, it's going to also kill 0.001% of the population, you know, or, you know, they shouldn't have, they just shouldn't have sold it as safe and effective. You know what I mean? They shouldn't have sold it as safe and effective and coerced people to get it. It's pretty astonishing. You know, I'm trying to play devil's advocate and be objective, but you know, 13 million people is a lot of souls to take. That's a lot of people, man. All right, let's see.
They should be comparing which group to which group?
They should be looking at, they should be doing this time series cohort analysis and having buckets that are a week long. So they look at What happens to the people a week after they get the vaccine, 2 weeks after the vaccine, 3 weeks after the vaccine, 4 weeks after the vaccine? Instead, they lump everyone together into these big buckets. Oh, 21 days from the shot, more than 21 days from the shot, more than 6 months from the shot. You know, it's like they had these huge buckets, so you couldn't see what was going on because they deliberately made these bucket sizes super big. We made them super small. So we looked at every single age group. We made our buckets by every single age, by every single dose, and by every single week. So we had fine grain on this data because we had the source data. The UK will never release the source data. I asked them, hey guys, you know, we want to do our own analysis to release the record level data in the UK, and they stopped talking to me. I said, hey, I'll happily pay for it. And they stopped talking to me. They don't want to release the source data so people can do their own analysis. So finally, we have the source data released, and anyone can analyze this, and there is only one proper way to interpret this data. And people like UK Professor Norman Fenton and people like Yale epidemiologist Harvey Risch, he's one of the top epidemiologists in the world, have looked at this data and have validated that, yes, this shows beyond any doubt that these vaccines are killing people, especially the elderly, and the peak killing happens about 6 months to a year after you get the shots, and it depends on which dose you are and how old you are as to whether the peaks are. So for Medicare, for example, if you get the shot in the US, your death rate, your mortality rate is gonna climb, and it's gonna go up and up and up every single day for 12 months straight. It is unbelievable.
So does it ever go back down again? Does it ever go back down to baseline normal?
Yeah. So if we look at all ages and all doses of the vaccine, we see a curve that goes up and it goes down, but it doesn't go down back to baseline. So it elevates your risk of dying for a period, and it maximizes your risk of dying around 6 months, which is when a lot of people I know who got the vax ended up dying. And then it goes back down, but it doesn't go back down to baseline. And so we just don't have enough data, right? Because we run out of time to define the answer to that. But it looks like it gets close to baseline. Yeah, after 12, 18 months, 2 years, depending on what shot you're on.
So people who...
That's the good news.
Most people I know just took the first two, right? So I took the first two, and then I got... I was vaccine injured. I was vaccine injured after the first one, but I didn't know it. I thought I was just, feeling sick. And then I got the second one, and then I knew for sure I was vaccine injured. And... So I was entered into this study, and they were trying to figure out a protocol of drugs to use to treat vaccine injury. And so I was given things like ivermectin, fluvoxamine, a bunch of other things. And so now it's been March of 2021. So now it's December of 2023. So would I be out of the danger zone if someone like me, which is I think most people, would we be out of that danger zone? So did we make it through the tough part?
Yeah, you made it through the tough part. You didn't die.
Okay.
You didn't die.
And so, what happened to the whistleblower from New Zealand who revealed this? Did they find out who it was, the whistleblower?
Yeah, they knew who it was.
We're not on YouTube. We're not on YouTube.
He had to make sure he wasn't on YouTube.
Because, well, first of all,
How crazy is that? Even if these guys are wrong, they can't talk about it? We're not allowed to talk about it? The fuck is that? Crazy. You gotta be scared whether you're on YouTube or not.
Right. Well, it's... It's just a weird... I mean, it's a very interesting thing to me as well. It's just because it is a company, and it is, like, it belongs to Alphabet, right? And it they can do what they want with it. They can shut it down the next day if they really wanted to. Mm-hmm. We don't really have control over that. And so...
Yeah, but we do. We do have control. We can use them or not use them. We can boycott them, is what I'm saying.
Cancel them.
Yeah, we can cancel them, which is why I try not to use YouTube as much as possible. Because I don't want to help facilitate tyranny. I don't want to be like the Germans during, you know, the good Germans that didn't want to kill Nazis, but that just didn't say anything.
There was just bystanders, basically.
Well, they followed orders, right? They did what they were told. Mm. And then the genocide happened, and then they felt bad about it, and likely they should, because bad things happen when good people don't say something. Right? Isn't that the old saying? I think it is.
Yeah,
bad.
Like evil. What was it? Evil prevails when good men stay silent.
Yeah, there it is.
Bare paraphrasing. It's,
yeah.
Or righteous men stay silent. Whatever the adjective is.
I'm not saying I'm a good man. I have my faults, but I'm just saying that, you know, people need to speak up. You know, like I talk to people and they're scared. People are scared to say. To take a stance against the woke mind virus and tyranny and the censorship and what's happening. And people are scared. And that's what happened in Germany. And then 6,000 Jews were killed. Like, you're scared, but it can get worse and they can come for you too.
Right.
Yeah. It's yeah. Somebody else today. It's fucking you tomorrow. Right.
Right.
So yeah. That's the part that, you know, that's the part that I understand, because I was bullied as a kid. And so I stood up for kids that were being bullied because I know what it feels like, you know, in high school. I think I was a bit of a bully in junior high, but in high school, I stood up for kids that were getting bullied. Cincinnati, Ohio. Should we answer it? Let's see. Hello? Hello? No, I don't need any dick pills. No, I'm just kidding. You're not saying anything. Hello, hello? Probably an auto dialer.
Hi, this is Cindy calling about the new self-employed plans now offered through United Health. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You're calling about self-employed plans?
Okay, so the purpose of the call today is to inform you that United now offers an excellent health plan package specifically designed for self-employed.
Okay, we'll block that number. Okay, well, that wasn't that fun. cool. All right. Well, I guess I forgot what I was talking about, but we'll jump back in. This 40-minute is going to take an hour. All right.
And so as soon as they saw the video, they knew who the leaker was. So that made it pretty easy. The second thing he did is he sent an email to them notifying them and putting them on notice that this database shows very troubling signals that they should take a look at. So I'm just amplifying that to say, look, I looked at this, and I have a team of data scientists that looked at it, and we all say the same thing, which is these vaccines are killing people. And for them to ignore that is completely irresponsible. This would be a criminal negligence to ignore this. This is the equivalent to an off-duty police officer seeing a murder happen and just walking along like nothing had happened. He's got a duty. To report that, just like these people have a duty to investigate any legitimate complaint like this, especially when it's coming from the guy who built the database that's used to track all this stuff. And he's saying there's a problem here, and we verified it, and Harvey Risch has verified it. Now, you know, it's one thing for me to verify it, but it's another, it's a whole different story when Harvey Risch and Norman Fenton say the same thing that I'm saying, which is this vaccine is killing people. So they can't gaslight the public.
Harvey
and
Risch
say there's
is
nothing
the
to see here, folks.
Yale.
When you have one of the world's top epidemiologists professor. Saying, yeah, it's killing people. There's no other explanation than the vaccine.
Okay. Well, that's pretty substantial.
You can't ignore it. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, oh, we're going to investigate this leaker. Well, the leaker is a hero. They should be commending the leaker. Hey, we didn't know about these. Look, if they were honest, they would be saying, oh my gosh, we didn't know there was a safety problem. Thank you so much. We're going to give you a commendation for pointing out this thing that our epidemiologists missed. And you, as the DBA for New Zealand Ministry of Health, you figured it out. They should be promoting this guy. They should be giving him a bonus. They should be saying this guy is a hero. But instead, they're basically trying to discredit him, and they're avoiding at talking about what the data says at all. Now, the news media is cooperating. The news media is basically saying, we're not going to download the data, and we're not going to see if there's a safety signal because we trust the New Zealand Ministry of Health, even though the Ministry of Health has not looked at the data themselves. They do not have any analysis at the New Zealand Ministry of Health that shows that these vaccines are safe and effective, which is why when they talked about it into the press, they never talk about the data. They only talk about the leaker. We're going to go after the leaker, and they should be rewarding him. They should go after him in order to give him a commendation, in order to give him a bonus, and in order to thank him and give him national recognition for pointing out something that they completely missed.
Now, it doesn't sound to me like you're trusting science, Steve. And that's what we've been told to do. We're supposed to trust science. I always thought we were supposed to question science, because if it can be questioned, that makes it science. But if you can't question it, that makes it a religion. But that's all out the window. During COVID and going forward, you're supposed to just trust science and experts. Now, you're not a... This is a big math equation problem. And correct me if I'm wrong, you're not a math surgeon.
Well, I did. I excelled in math when I was in school, and you know, aced my SATs and everything that had to do was math related. I was taking a second year honors calculus at UCLA while I was still in high school.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I was off the charts math wise.
Okay, well, it says here that you got your degree in electrical engineering and computer science. That does not say math surgeon, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'll take my word for it.
You did. So now, joking aside.
This is easy stuff. And science, by the way, should always be looking at the data. Scientists should never run. A real scientist will never run when confronted with data, especially data that shows that's adverse to what the scientist is claiming. A real scientist would say, oh, interesting, you have data that that essentially questions what my hypothesis is.
That's a good
point. I
would
like to see your data because I really want to know, because scientists are a real scientist is interested in truth. And so when you bring them things that that question what their hypothesis is or that challenge them, what a real scientist would do is say, thank you very much, let's have an open dialogue about this. Let's discuss this in real time. A real scientist would never say, well, you're wrong, and let's duel it out in the peer-reviewed literature where it will take at least 20 years to resolve something, if not longer. And autism is a perfect example of that, where there have been dueling papers in the peer-reviewed literature for 20 years, and the people who believe that vaccines don't cause autism absolutely refuse to debate the people who say the opposite, which is that vaccines do cause autism. So everybody who says vaccines cause autism.
All right. Well, I mean, that's a good point. Not the autism thing, but just the whole overall arcing point of real scientists look for debates. Real scientists look to challenge hypotheses so that they can do science, because that's what it is. Fake scientists hide from new data. Fake scientists, like, you know,
they don't hide from it, they just deny it.
Well, either way, yeah. Deny, and I mean hide from debate, you know, hide from debating, you know, I mean, you had that whole debacle with when RFK went on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan just let him talk for 30, 45 minutes without interruption, and he could lay out his case for looking into the signal that maybe there's something to these vaccines creating problems in children. Right. And Peter Hotez, do you know who that is? Dr. Peter Hotez? Mm-mm. Oh, man. We should watch. I thought we watched a video on that guy. He's like a chubby doctor, out of shape doctor who went on Joe Rogan and said he doesn't take vitamins and that vitamins don't do anything, and said that he eats potato chips, and like, you know, just like Joe Rogan was challenging him, like, you're a doctor, why are you not healthy, like, you're not what is happening? But I guess he said something on Twitter about that interview with RFK on Rogan, and then people said, well, debate him then, go on Rogan and debate him. And then people started saying, well, yeah, I'll throw in some money to your favorite charity. And it got up over $1 million for charity. And he was like, no, I'm not going to participate in the bullying of a lawyer. You know, all the, it just hid from it. He ran from it instead of being a scientist. You know, a scientist can debate their point, debate their stance. And if they can't, then there's a problem. Then you shouldn't trust them. If they can't debate their stance, you shouldn't trust that scientist. They're not a scientist. They're a propagandist. They have something else. They have a different agenda.
Me and Chris actually talked about this debacle, and I actually went over like why they're like, for kids that don't get vaccines, how they have a lower risk of asthma and autism, or asthma and allergies. Mm-hmm. And autism, it's genetic. Like, autism affects
says boys. Eric the scientist.
Autism affects boys more than girls, up to 4 to 5 times. Hmm. And that is because that men typically have more genetic variation than women. Yeah. And so they can develop autism more commonly. There was, back in the 90s, have you ever heard of Andrew Wakefield?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy that was basically kicked out of the scientific community for doing a very dangerous experiment, basically.
Yeah, I forget what it was.
He was saying that one of the shots of the MMR vaccine was causing autism. The thing is that when you actually read the paper, and this took a dozen years to finally figure out. But
that's what he's talking about.
You look at the paper, and he only had 12 kids in this study.
Hmm.
And each one of their medical histories was wrong.
Hmm.
Like, before and after, because these kids, some of them did have autism, he was putting on kids that didn't have autism having autism.
Oh.
And how they figured that out was that the parents of these kids, they had family pediatricians, obviously, before and after. And so an investigative journalist went to these pediatricians. He was able to get some sources on this, and he was like, they couldn't give any details because of HIPAA, but they're like, we would have almost killed these kids if we took Andrew Wakefield's word on these medical charts.
Mm.
They were completely different.
Mm.
Like eye color and hair color was wrong somehow. It's like, how is this happening?
Basic shit,
basically, yes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where you could say the first surge of anti-vaxxers came along.
Oh, okay.
Right at that time. And that one woman, McCarthy. And now RFK Jr. went on to Joe Rogan, was talking about the three big A's. autism, allergies, and asthma. Well, what's interesting...
Well, there's another A, ADHD, ADD.
Oh, yes, there are those as well, and those, I mean, they've had a very...
eczema.
Oh, eczema?
Psoriasis, eczema, gotcha. Autoimmune disorders.
I see, gotcha. But, I mean, I guess I hear
what you're saying. I think what the overall... Did you listen to the RFK... Joe Rogan?
Snippets of it. I did catch snippets of it, not the entire interview.
Yeah, I think what I got from it was he was saying the adjuvant in the vaccines has been different types of mercury, and that goes, it works well because it breaks the blood-brain barrier and allows the vaccines, you know, to get in to your brain, which is the bad part, right? So... He's saying, but they haven't done double-blind placebo trials in any of the vaccines, which is true.
I find it hard to believe.
It's true.
They've been around for decades.
I know, but it's true.
They've been around for decades.
It's true.
Crazy.
It's true. And I'm telling you, dude, the PhDs in biology that I listen to, Dark Horse, Brett Weinstein and his wife Heather Hying, they looked it up. And because they didn't believe it either. And they were like, they wrote a book, and one of the great marvels they said was medical marvels was they were like antibiotics, vaccines, and something else. And now they are starting to question that because there have not been any double placebo blind placebo trials for safety on any vaccine, period.
Interesting.
There haven't been any. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has flat out said, if you can find one, please send it to me and I will change my opinion. But nobody ever has and nobody ever will. And he has sued
that you know of.
Well, he sued the NIH. He sued the NIH to get them to give him what they claimed they had was double blind placebo trials for vaccines and Dr. Anthony Fauci, and they never gave him anything, and they said they were going to give it to him and they never did, and eventually they said they don't have it. They admitted that they don't have them. So they don't exist. They've never done them. And so anyway, there's a lot that goes into this stuff, and it's back in the 80s when, I'm not sure if it was Ronald Reagan or, it might have been 1989, and I'm not sure if that was Reagan or that might have been Bush Sr., right? But they made this thing, obviously I'm a dummy, so I don't know all the technical terms, but they made a law that vaccine companies were not going to be held liable for adverse reactions because there was so much pushback for vaccines, and they just finally told the government, like, hey, you want these vaccines or you don't want these vaccines, because they come with consequences and it is what it is. So either we get sued and we go out of business and we can't provide these vaccines for anybody, or you know, you make a law that says we can't get sued and we can continue with the vaccine programs. And that's what happened. They made a law that said they weren't liable for vaccine injuries. And then there's no double placebo trials. So I don't know, but I think it's worth looking into. I think it's worth, why not look into it? If we want to do science on it, why shouldn't we just, I don't know, do some double-blind placebo trial tests on it and see what happens and publish those for everybody to see what the truth is. If they're safe and effective, then that shouldn't be a problem, right?
Well, we also have decades of research backing it up that they're safe and effective. I mean,
but are they?
How many kids have died of whooping cough?
No, I know.
Sick with whooping cough or malaria or mumps, rubella, especially in America.
Yeah.
I mean, the evidence is kind of there for it's been around for decades.
Then why not do double placebo blind trials?
Wouldn't it just be seen as a waste of money if we already know it's doing it?
Well, we don't have them, so we don't know. So we should just do it.
I wonder.
Well, I'm just saying, why are you against it?
No, not against it.
Well, there you go. So it's a good thing to do. I just think it'd be a good thing to do.
Well, let's see. I mean,
I don't think it's a bad thing to do. I think it'd be a good thing to do, and it would just strengthen the case if they're safe and effective. It would strengthen that case. It can only help. So why won't they do it? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't they do it? If it can only help their case, why not do it? Just be like, yeah, you're right. You know what? We should do those. Let's do it. We'll put it out for everybody.
Here's the decades of research we already have.
Well, there's also, there's a lot of kids that are having problems. And there's that research too. Decades of that happening. And there's a spike. There's like, used to be 1 in 10,000 kids had. Now it's 1 in 35 had autism. It's 1 in 35 children now. And it used to be in the 50s and 60s, it was like 1 in, or I guess in the 60s and 70s, it was 1 in 10,000. And now, well, as of today, it's 1 in 35.
We were really bad at diagnosing that back in that those days as well. Like, it's changed drastically as well, where some disorders...
Are there old people with autism? Are there really...
The average lifespan of an autistic child is 39.
But are there old people with autism?
No, they're all dead by 39, typically. The average lifespan of someone with autism...
It doesn't kill you. Autism doesn't kill you.
You
don't die of autism.
Alzheimer's doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
But you die of something else caused by the autism.
Autism doesn't do that. Look it up. Autism doesn't kill people. It doesn't. If you are cared for, like if you have debilitating autism and you're cared for, you can live into your eight, you know, until your life expectancy, until, you know, one of your things shuts down and you die.
Or until you walk out on the street because you don't know about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm saying if you're cared for.
Right.
Well, you're saying that's an accident. That's not autism killing you. That's an accident.
Exactly. But
right. So that's what I'm saying.
But yeah. Okay. Fine. But is that lifespan is 39 as of right now? Anyway.
Did you just look it up?
I looked it up a couple months ago.
Oh. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not here to talk about autism. We got kind of off on a tangent, right. But you know.
I studied autism a little bit and like. Kind of like the changes that it's gone through the decades and even the years. But yeah, it's really fascinating, honestly.
I have two cousins with autism.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know like what kind, like is it low or high functioning autism or Asperger's?
You know, my family's not close.
Okay, gotcha.
We're not close. We used to like maybe have a family thing once a year.
Gotcha.
And that stopped a long time ago. I think that they are functioning on their own. I'm friends with them on Facebook, and I think that they are functioning on their own, but it's not, I think they're in the middle. It's not like a nothing.
Right, right.
It's pretty debilitating.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
And yeah, they're, so yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I wish I should know that, you know, but I don't.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I know my... best friend's wife, one of her sisters, the youngest out of 12, has autism, and she will never be able to live on her own. She is going to need constant care.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she just wanders off, and quite literally, she wandered off one day, went into someone's house, and went into their bathroom while they were taking a shower. And I'm like, hi. I go, what?
Yeah. He's trying to watch Wapner.
Yeah.
Definitely Wapner. All right, back to it.
Right.
Love to have a debate. Bobby Kennedy's been trying to get a debate on autism for 20 years. Kennedy, for 20 years, has been trying to get somebody to debate him real time on autism.
Nobody will.
No takers.
Yep.
Alan Dershowitz volunteered to debate him, but Alan Dershowitz is not an expert on autism. you know? And this is the best they could do in 20 years. The only guy to debate Bobby Kennedy on autism is Alan Dershowitz. I mean, that is crazy.
I heard Alan Dershowitz, I'm sorry, but I heard Alan Dershowitz did extensive study on autism on Jeffrey Epstein's island. And I thought it was the Epstein Center for Autism or teenage girls. I'm not sure which one it was.
Or teenage girls.
He was there.
I'd have to go in and check the records. You may be right, Jimmy. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But now the deal is this. The data is there.
Reliable source, ladies and gentlemen.
Jimmy, do you think anybody in mainstream media is ever going to download that data and do the analysis themselves and ask their local epidemiologist to interpret the data for them?
No.
Do you think any news media is going to touch this?
The only guy who would have did that, they fired recently, and his name was Tucker Carlson. So that would be the only guy who would have probably did that. And so they got rid of him, and they tried to discredit him, just like they tried to discredit Joe Rogan for telling the truth. They tried to discredit Russell Brand for telling the truth. They've tried to discredit me for telling the truth. Dr. Robert Malone, Peter McCullough, all these people, we're not the ones who are lying to people about the vaccines or about lockdowns or masks or COVID or herd immunity or transmission or contraction. We're the ones who are telling you what the data is on all those things. And the people who are lying to you are Dr. Fauci, everybody who's in corporate media, the government, FDA, and the CDC. People forget that the two heads of the vaccine department at the FDA resigned over the booster program. That didn't get reported in the mainstream news media. They never talked to you about that. They still keep telling, it still says I'm a conspiracy theorist at Wikipedia, and they still will say that Joe Rogan is taking horse dewormer, even though it's been proved, all that stuff has been debunked and disproven. Everybody still runs with it, and I still have comedians in comedy club green rooms and on social media tried to discredit me and slander me and say things like, I trust the science, Jimmy. I trust science of vaccines. They literally, they say, I trust science of vaccines. I had a guy who opens for Bill Burr say that to me just the other day on Twitter. I trust the science of vaccine. You don't trust science, you fucking moron. You question science. That's called science. If you trust science, that's called a religion.
Totally.
So what?
100%.
What do you think is gonna? Do you think this will ever come to light? Because I knew that someday there would be documentaries about people who were vaccine injured. Those are out there, but none of that seems to be breaking through the mainstream. Because thanks to Bill Clinton, we only have 6 giant media companies in the whole goddamn country of America. And so everybody who's in journalism or TV news or anything, they all work for the same six billionaire owned companies. And so it doesn't seem like it's ever going to break through. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that some people, some influential people like Paul Offit, for example, are going to have to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, they're right. This data does show that people are being killed. Do I remain silent and see how long we can pull this off? Or do I tell the truth? Now, if Paul Offit flips, that's a huge domino. It would be like Peter Hotez saying, well, Peter Hotez would never say that the vaccines are unsafe or that, you know, he shouldn't be getting the vaccines. But so he'll never flip. But people like Paul Offit, maybe people like Martin Kulldorff at Harvard, people like Jay Bhattacharya, those people should be looking at this data and they should be being honest as honest scientists and say the truth about the data. And so this is a litmus test to see just how corrupt these epidemiologists and the medical community is, because now it's in front of people. It's like a math problem. Does 2 + 2 = 4 or does 2 + 2 = 5? And they've been saying 2 + 2 = 5, and we just showed a proof that 2 + 2 = 4. That's unassailable. So now it's a question of when do they flip? When do they want to be on the right side of history? because they know it's no longer being hidden, because the genie is out of the bottle. Because that data, which is record level data, it is gold standard data. It doesn't get any better than this, folks. This is ground truth. You don't get any better than this. This gold standard data, which every country in the entire world has been hiding from public view for some reason. Gee, why would they hide this, Jimmy, if the records actually show the vaccines are safe and effective? Why would they want to hide it from the world? Why would every government in the world want to hide this data from people? The only reason is because they know the data shows that the vaccines are killing people. That's the only reason for hiding it, because if it showed the opposite, if it says, oh, look, this data is showing that people, it would save lives, they'd be going and posting this everywhere. They'd be making it download. They pay people to download it so that people would be convinced that they shouldn't be, their vaccine hesitancy should go away because, hey, look at the data. But they're hiding the data. Anytime you hide the data, it's like censorship. They're always on the wrong side of the issue.
So it's just
anytime there's censorship or information censorship like this, they're on the wrong side.
Well, I heard Bill Gates talk about when Donald Trump became president that Bobby Kennedy had convinced him to have a congressional panel or an investigative group, and we're going to have open hearings about the safety and efficacy of vaccines in general. And then Bill, which would be, well, you would think that's great, because what we're going to find out is that vaccines are safe and effective.
Boom.
And that they work for everybody.
Exactly.
And so it will get rid of vaccine hesitancy, right?
Yes.
Bill Gates then intervened, had
it
a meeting with Donald Trump,
hesitancy,
and told him, no, that would be a bad thing. That was the exact quote that Bill Gates used. That's a bad thing. And so that got squashed. So why would that be? He never explained why that would be a bad thing. And nobody in the media will ever ask Bill Gates to explain that. Why would having a Senate investigation into the efficacy and safety of vaccines be a bad thing? Wouldn't it be a great thing? Because then we could shut up people like Bobby Kennedy and people like you and me and Dr. Robert Malone and McCullough and all the rest. And then we could shut them up because we would have all the data. We'd have it out in public and we'd have open hearings in public, which is what everybody wants. But of course they won't do that, and the reason why they won't do that is because Bill Gates is a megalomaniacal psychopath, and he knows what he would find out is that those vaccines are actually not as safe and effective as they've made them out to be, and in fact they've been injuring people by the tens of thousands, if not millions, since they got immunity from prosecution and civil suits against them in the 80s. Why do you think they needed to get immunity from lawsuits against a medical product if it was safe and effective?
Boom. Well, I'm going to stop it there. I just got a text that we have to go to one of the houses. One of the guests said the pool lights aren't working. So,
oh, geez. Yay.
So we got to go to one of the houses. But, I mean, that's a fair point. I guess the bottom line is if they are safe and effective, then, you know, if you're like, hey, my room's clean, but mom and dad don't come in here, then, you know, mom and dad are saying, well, I need to check and see if your room's clean. Nope, it's clean. Just trust me. But you can't come in. You can't come in my room, but you just have to trust me that it's clean. Okay? I told you it's clean, so just trust me. Then that's a problem, right? That's a problem. If the room's clean, then you should be able to open the door and let everybody walk through it to inspect how clean it is. And if you won't do that, then you're full of shit. And there's something wrong. There's something else going on. Or even if it's just a nuisance to you, even if it's like, well, that's a nuisance. We already have this, and this point. You know, you're injecting things into people's bodies, and they're asking you to do this if you want them to support you. It doesn't matter if it's not going to stop vaccine hesitancy. That's a moot point. That doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point, you know, it would stop a lot of vaccine hesitancy if it was proven in open forum that it was safe and effective with double-blind placebo trials. So I'm just going to leave it there. I want to watch another video, which I haven't gotten to watch. I'll put it on the screen briefly as a teaser. But it is, and also you can go to Steve Kirsch's Substack, and he has all the data for anybody who wants to investigate further. You can do that. Continue reading. And then I want to see this video. It's called Operation Mother, the Mother of All Revelations. The data is it. The data, this is it.
The data, this is it, yeah.
So this is the video of this whistleblower. And and this is the lady, I think, that I read some of this. So I think she's the lady from, these are New Zealanders. So she was a part of the government. He was a part. He's the one that created. He's a coder or data person. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when we watch the video. But I want to watch some of that video too and delve deeper. You know, Steve Kirsch is kind of a salesman. He's using a lot of sales tactics. He's using a lot of metaphors and painting a picture and, you know, anecdotal stuff to try and sell you on his position. And I see through that. I'm a salesperson. I've been doing it for 25 years. So I know what he's doing. And, you know, if his numbers are correct, then it's an atrocity and somebody should be held accountable. If they're not correct and they're lower and there's still a lot of deaths, guess what? It's still an atrocity and people should be held accountable. So, yeah. Thanks for watching, everybody. We will see you next time on The Layback with me and Eric. Peace.